And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by Kara Pace, Daryl Garrison, right here on 91.7 FM, KALW, San Francisco.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might.
It's got to be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, everybody, and good morning. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday, and we do hope you could spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So we hope you can settle back and enjoy the next hour, maybe come up with a question of your own or answer one of ours. Anyway, let me give you the numbers for the show because we look forward to talking to you. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. For those who don't want to talk to us, and I can't imagine why or who you are, but you can also email, and that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And if you like to listen to the podcast, and who wouldn't, that should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today, and that will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but please start with KALW. That would be appreciated. So once more, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And this is a great time to call in, by the way. We want to get you on as soon as possible, and we want to talk to as many people as we can in between the questions. So please give us a call. All right, we're going to start with the round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here's the first. From Kermit to Apollo, Kara Pace has a history of identifying with frogs.
Relatedly, right after the show, Daryl Garrison is heading to a No Kings protest. His inflatable frog costume is ready.
It'll be riveting. And with the rallies today, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, gives a pass to a select group of kings, the Christmas Carol 3, Martin Luther, Carol, and of course, William Rufus Devane King, 13th Vice President of the United States.
Yes, you always have to make an exception for him. And by the way, Kira mentioned him in a question about a year ago, so, which I think she's probably forgotten.
Good for me. All right. Well, are you ready for different questions that have nothing to do with kings?
All right. Go ahead.
All right. I'll start with my list question as usual. I'm going to give you the name of some fake movies. For each fake movie, you tell me the real movie in which it was featured. I've gone ahead and put these in chronological order for you. They start in 1963 and end in 2022. Okay, here are your fake movies. The first one is called Odyssey. Number two is The Girl Who Stole the Eiffel Tower. Number three, See You Next Wednesday. Number four, Her Real Glory. Number five, Dark Windows. Number six, Happy Scrappy Hero Pup. Number seven, Brock Landers, Angels Live in My Town. That's Brock Landers, colon, Angels Live in My Town. Number eight, Log Jammin'. That's with an apostrophe at the end. Number nine is The Orchid Thief. And number 10 is Gunsmog. So once again, Odyssey, The Girl Who Stole the Eiffel Tower, See You Next Wednesday. I will accept several answers for See You Next Wednesday. Number four is Her Real Glory. Five is Dark Windows. 6 is Happy Scrappy Hero Pup. 7 is Brock Landers, Angels Live in My Town. Number 8 is Log Jammin'. Number 9, The Orchid Thief. And finally, number 10, Gunsmog. All fake movies in real movies.
Daryl, you want to go ahead?
Okay. So is Brock Landers, is that the Marky Mark film, Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
It is. Do you have a name for it?
From 97.
All of that is correct.
The Burt Reynolds is in it, Dana.
Sure is. You are practically nailing this.
Come on.
You have everything but the easiest part, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Name of the movie.
He's a porn star, Dana.
Oh, Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. There we go. That was excellent tag team effort at 10 a.m.
I just needed something to jog my mind.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Brock Landers, Angels Live in My Town. That is from Boogie Nights.
Okay. All right. Well, I was confused because you said the earliest one was 1963, but now, and then you said Dark Windows. Now, Dark Windows was the project that William Holden, the screenwriting project that William Holden and what's her name, Nancy Olson, were working on in Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, interesting. That is
which is the movie
true.
Within a movie. So,
okay, well, then I will give you that. But know that there is also a 1992 film that features Dark Windows.
Okay, well, we're gonna leave that out. But yeah, that was it. Was definitely
probably it's a reference to Sunset Boulevard. Then that would
make
sense.
Possible. That's possible. I guess. Now, the other one is a little. The See You Next Wednesday is kind of a running joke.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm accepting many answers for it.
Yeah, because that's John Landis's in joke, I think.
Yes, that is correct.
Which he features in a lot of his films. I don't know if it's all his films, but a lot of his films.
Not only that, even in the episode of Dream On for, was it HBO? Showtime? I don't remember anymore. But Dream On, he directed at least one episode for it. It shows up there, too. Name me a John Landis film,
yeah,
and I will
American
tell you that
Werewolf
you are correct.
In London or Animal House.
Animal House, yep.
All right, okay.
Nailed it. That's a bell.
All right, okay.
Is The Orchid Thief, is that a Nicolas Cage thing?
It is.
Yeah, that's like 2002 adaptation?
Adaptation. That is correct.
That's it. Okay. All right. So we got those. Tell us the ones that are left again and what you're looking for.
All right. Starting in 1963, we have Odyssey. Number 2 is The Girl Who Stole the Eiffel Tower. The next one is Her Real Glory. The next one is Dark Windows. And even though that may have been featured in Sunset Boulevard, it is also featured in a 1992 movie. So if you happen to know it, please call in. The next one is Happy Scrappy Hero Pup. Next is Log Jammin'. And finally, from 2022, Gunsmog.
Gunsmog. All right. And Daryl, it's your turn.
Okay, with Halloween around the corner, I have some Halloween-adjacent TV characters. I'll name a character from a Halloween-adjacent TV show. You name the show. For example, Gladys Kravitz would be Bewitched. So here are 6 for you. Number 1, Audrey Horne.
These are actors or characters? Oh, these are characters.
TV characters. Number one, Audrey Horne. Yes. Number 2, Tony Vincenzo. Number 3, Angelique Bouchard. Number 4, Cordelia Chase. Number 5, Walter Skinner. And number 6, Tara Thornton. That's Audrey Horne, Tony Vincenzo, Angelique Bouchard, Cordelia Chase, Walter Skinner, and Tara Thornton.
Kira?
No. I'm sorry. You said these are Halloween related?
These are Halloween adjacent.
Adjacent.
TV shows and characters on them.
I know one, at least I think I know one. Audrey Horne was Sherilyn Fenn in Twin Peaks.
That's exactly right, yes.
All right, okay. So these are just, the shows are kind of Halloween type
these are, yeah, they're Halloween. These are well-known shows too. Tony Vincenzo, Angelique Bouchard, Cordelia Chase, Walter Skinner, Tara Thornton. Really well-known shows.
Tony Vincenzo is very, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Tony Vincenzo, that's the Night Stalker.
Yes, Simon Oakland, the editor in Kolchak, the Night Stalker. Very good.
Okay. All right. And the ones that are left are?
Is Walter Skinner X-Files?
It is. Mitch Pileggi, the FBI head. Walter Skinner. Very good.
All right.
The other three, Angelique Bouchard, Cordelia Chase, Tara Thornton.
Okay. And they're all TV shows for sure. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, good morning. So something from the KLAW past. Does any of you remember Alan Furley?
Yes.
Okay. What was his last show about?
Probably Noel Coward, knowing Alan Furley.
Well, it was Live That to the Audience. It was really, really, really interesting. I hope one of the audience called. All right. So right now, most countries in the world use centigrade for temperature, but only America and maybe two other countries use Fahrenheit. At what temperature Fahrenheit and centigrade are equal?
Yeah, minus
negative 40.
Oh, you're great people. Oh, you're very scientific oriented. Okay. So I've been almost talking about Hebrew and Arabic are twin language. If you change the S into Esh and three other letters, you almost speak the same language. And they are cousins, and people are cousins too. So in that sense, I'm going to go to EL. So I'm going to ask you a movie question. In the scene between Moses, well, let's say Charles Heston, and the actress played in the Ten Commandments, what is the name of the actress, that beautiful actress? Of course, both of them have passed away. What is her name?
Well, which scene are we talking about? I'm sorry, I wasn't
when they're talking about the one with no name.
The one
the mountain
with
no name.
No name. So was it either
when she was,
Anne Baxter or Yvonne DiCarlo?
Anne Baxter was the wife of the Pharaoh.
Right.
Okay, she was. Right. But yes, Yvonne DiCarlo was Moses' wife.
Right.
Okay. Everybody Googles the scene because it's beautiful. Just beautiful. It is she. So Moses and the Pharaoh are by the mountain, and the mountain's growling. And she said, the one with no name is awake. So that really is about 5 minutes scene is beautiful again. So let's talk about EL. What does EL mean?
You mean as in El Cid or whatever?
El Cid, El Matador, El Teatro. Yeah. Yes.
Of or from?
No.
Or do you mean the in Spanish?
Yeah, the, I would think. I mean,
EL.
Yeah.
So it's not the answer because it means the. It means the.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what cares.
The one was known him because it was a sin in ancient word to mention God's name. God had 50 names, 48 or something names, and but was mentioned. So it was forbidden to mention his name. So they call him El. The one was known him. So when what is the other name for synagogues?
Temple?
No.
I don't know. Kira, is there another name for synagogue?
It starts with
House of God.
Mm. Yeah. Say it in Hebrew. What does it mean? Say it in Hebrew.
Say what in Hebrew? I didn't hear you. Sorry. I'm sorry?
Say it in Hebrew. Hebrew.
Say
in your Hebrew, you know, in Hebrew language. Okay.
No.
Have you ever heard of Beit El?
Oh, you, Bethel. Okay. You're saying Bethel?
Yeah, two separate words. Yeah. Beth El. It means house of God, because Beth in Arabic and Hebrew means house. How about Sana? How do you say that?
Indeed, we have to cut you off there because we have other people on the line waiting. So.
Okay, just very quickly. In Hebrew, Shana means year. Yom Kippur means a big day. What's it in Arabic? What's his answer? Because they have other people. Shana in Hebrew is Sana in Arabic. Yom is Yom. Kabir, Kippur, Kabir. So it's almost the same language. Always great show. Everybody please donate to KLAW. We need it now more than ever. Do, please do that. Thank you. Always great show. Great station. Great people as well. Thank you again.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah. All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly would enjoy talking to you. We do hope you will give us a call if you have a question in mind or to answer one of ours. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Daryl Garrison, realtor from Brentwood. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, it's my turn, finally. And give me a couple questions here. Okay, so the most turbulent flight route in North America is between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and what city? The most turbulent flight route in North America is between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and what city?
I would expect it to be something that goes over mountains.
Well, again, Santa Fe is way high. How about Santa Fe?
Not Santa Fe.
But it would have to be something that is flown between, right?
I don't think Santa Fe has an airport, so because of its location. You're on the right track.
Isn't it a major? Well, how about Salt Lake City?
That's a good guess. And it's a city that's west of the Mississippi.
Right.
But it's not Salt Lake City.
And what about just LAX?
Not LAX.
Okay.
So once more, the most turbulent flight route routinely in North America is between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and what city? What city? Okay, can think about that. And you may remember, well, Kira, you weren't here last week, but you may remember I asked a question about Crayola crayon colors. And I asked you all about the Crayola crayon colors in which the color was completely a food's name. And there were several of those, but that's last week. And this week, we are going to ask the seven current Crayola crayon colors that are animal names, completely animal names. All right?
Salmon.
Oh, salmon is indeed one.
Nice.
Okay, yes, salmon. So once more, what are these seven Crayola crayon colors that are animal names? Animal names. And Kira got hers, and that's salmon.
Out of curiosity, last week, was macaroni and cheese one of them? Like,
it was.
Did you use the additional colors?
Yeah. But so the animal name, or as of last week, the food name, it has to be the whole color. In other words, it can't be a description, something else, like, macaroni and cheese, lime green,
What macaroni and cheese brand are you using? Because,
yeah, I know.
All right.
That was an example.
Well, one of them has to be shade of green, right? Like an insect, a chameleon or a praying mantis kind of thing.
Yes, there are insects on this list because this takes in all the animal kingdom, just so you know. But,
Can I tag team in on this?
I guess so.
Give
one more guess.
I'll ask Daryl if I can tag team in on this.
Of course. I don't care.
Well, I mean, because you mentioned green. Is there a grasshopper?
No, but there is an insect.
Okay.
There is an insect. So what are the seven Crayola crayon colors that are named after things from the animal kingdom? It could be animal or insect.
How about fawn?
That's a good guess, but no, not fawn.
Right.
Okay, leave that out.
All right.
And I would like to point out that Crayola is not made in Florida, because there would totally be a color called fire ant, which I'm sure does not actually exist.
Well, it's possible. Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you one more question here. According to art experts who came up with a list of the 100 greatest and most influential paintings in the world, I selected five of these paintings, and I'm going to tell you the name of the painting, and I want you to tell me where it is located in the world.
Yeesh.
Okay, in other words, they're all in museums, so you just have to guess the museum. Number one, now again, these are from the list of the 100 most influential paintings in the world. Number one is The Luncheon of the Boating Party by Pierre-Auguste Renoir. Number two is The Milkmaid by Vermeer. Number three is The Birth of Venus by Botticelli. Number four is The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch. And number five is The Lute Player by Caravaggio. So these are some of the 100 greatest paintings in the world. I want you to tell me what museum you can actually see them in. Number one, The Luncheon of the Boating Party by Renoir. Number two, The Milkmaid by Vermeer. Number three, The Birth of Venus by Botticelli. Number four, The Garden of Earthly Delights by Bosch. And number five, The Lute Player by Caravaggio. Okay, I'll give you each one.
I know one.
Right.
I saw it's the Garden of Earthly Delights when Sarah and I went to Madrid. That's a Prado? Is that what it is?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Good job.
That was the one I knew.
Sorry.
No. So I would want to put the boating party, I guess, could be just in the Louvre, but I kind of want to put it in the museum whose name I can't remember that is near the Louvre that has the more modern stuff.
No, it's not in France.
It's not in France at all?
No, it's not.
All right. Oh, is it at the Art Institute?
In Chicago?
Yeah.
No.
There's a lot of stuff at the Art Institute. That's why I ask. Well, I got nothing.
All right. Think it over. Okay, so just once more, the most turbulent flight route in North America is between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and what city that is west of the Mississippi? What are the seven Crayola crayon colors that are animal names? And that includes the insect group. And out of the 100 greatest paintings in the world, I selected five. I want you to tell me what museum they can be found in. The ones we have left are Luncheon of the Boating Party by Renoir, The Milkmaid by Vermeer, Birth of Venus by Botticelli, and The Lute Player by Caravaggio.
The Milkmaid by Vermeer, is that by any chance just in the Rijksmuseum?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
That would have been too easy. All right.
And let's go to a call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi, you're on.
Am I on?
You are. Oh.
This is Joe from the crime-ridden Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Anyway, I'd like to try to answer one of the movie questions.
Okay.
There was one movie question that wanted to know the connection with the girl who stole the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Would that be Bill Holden and Audrey Hepburn in Paris When It Sizzles?
From 1964, you are correct. Nice okay. job.
I would like to ask a couple of questions.
All right.
Strangely enough, they're not movie questions, but I've always been fascinated with the Ed Sullivan Theater, where it houses the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, a very famous theater. It was built in the end of the Gilded Age in 1906. It was the Hammerstein, which at first was an opera house, and then it went on to be a vaudeville house that was very important to Eddie Cantor, Al Jolson, and the like. And it's had multiple names throughout the year, with David Letterman making the theater, the Ed Sullivan Theater, in, I guess, 2000 or so. But my question is, what nighttime network TV show was the first to be broadcast from that location. The show was on the air for 10 years, and during the 1951-52 season was the highest rated show according to the rating system, Nielsen. It was hosted by one of the biggest stars at the time. I need the name, but it was officially called Two Things. But I think it's pretty synonymous with I would be very generous with the name, but it's, I just need the name of this show. It sometimes went by two names.
So it's not the Ed Sullivan Show? It's not Toast to the Town?
Ed Sullivan's show was actually on the marquee of the theater for years as not the Ed Sullivan Theater. That was officially made when Letterman took over. But during the during a long period of time from maybe the 50s on, in fact, I was in the audience in 1954 when the theater was called the CBS TV 50. And the next year in 55, it was the marquee just said the Ed Sullivan Show. But this particular theater, the theater I'm looking for that houses late night to now, was the first television network show that broadcast from that location for 10 years. And if you remember the other things I said, that was the 51-52 season was the number one show, according to Nielsen. And I think I can give you a couple more hints if you want to give it a thought or two.
Hmm. All right.
Over the years, it was the Billy Rose Theater, all sorts of different names. But it's probably one of the most famous theaters on Broadway.
Right.
Anything to do with Red Skelton?
Nope. And I get this, so this is correct.
Let's see. I think Gary Moore was there for a while.
It housed a lot of radio shows. It housed a lot of shows, just like you just said. It housed over the period of time the Jackie Gleason Show. It housed an awful lot of shows. But this was the very first network show that ran for 10 years. If I gave you the years, it might give it away, but I don't know if it will. So I'll give you the years that it was on the television. It was on from 1948 to 1958.
48 to 58. Oh, 10 years. It wasn't a game show or anything, was it?
No, it was I would probably call it, and this is giving it away a little bit, I would kind of call it in today's term a reality show of some sort, and I would also call it a variety show.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you. Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm not surprised. I thought maybe Dando might know it because of the history of these things. But it was actually, it went by two names. It was Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts, or simply named Talent Scouts.
Okay, all right.
And my next question is a Broadway question again. Actually, it's the Tony Awards. If that's not off limits, I think this might be a fairly decent question for the Tonys. And I'm talking about 1957 was a banner year for the Tonys because everything was pretty much a hit. It had shows that had a con man that sold boys' instruments, boys' uniforms in Iowa. It had two rival gangs from the West Side. It had other shows that were very big and successful. But 1958, when they had the ceremony, it was the first time that there was a tie between the two musical actresses, the two actresses that won the Tony for a musical performance. It only happened three times in the history, twice in the 60s, but the first one was in 19, 58 Tony Awards for the 1957 season. So I'm looking for the two female Tony winners of the 1957 season.
Was Julie Andrews one?
No, that would be a year before. But anyway, one, here's the hint that might help. One was a screen legend, and the other was a Broadway legend.
Mary Martin.
I could give you one hint more that I don't think we'll give it away, and it was from the same show. In other words, other ties in the future might not have been from the same show, but this particular show was unusual because it was a tie between two performers of that season in the very same production. One was a screen legend, which you will agree with, I believe, and one was a definite Broadway legend, maybe at the in the middle of her career.
Well, was that the one that Thelma Ritter won?
I think you're on the right track.
They did a musical version of Anna Christie, and she was in that. And then was it the other? And I can't remember who she starred with. Who was it? So, yeah, I think they both won from the same show. What was that show called? New Girl in Town? Was that it?
Well, I think I'm going to give you that question, of course, as you probably would, too. You did not get the actual name, which you probably would have come up with if you gave had a little more to think about. But yes, New Girl in Town, which was an excellent show by Bob Merrill, had some hit songs, at least hits as far as Broadway's concerned. But it was Gwen Verdon, who had been in Can-Can, of course, Chicago right. later, okay. a redhead, damn Yankees, so she certainly was a legend. And the reason I can call Thelma Ritter a legend, because who else has got the record for 6 Oscar nominations? And right. her singing and musical aplomb was absolutely excellent. I mean, that's one thing I have the album, I listen to it often, and it's a marvelous show. It's kind of funny, but it's a Eugene O'Neill, probably one of the first shows that turned a very dramatic show into a semi-musical comedy. Anyway, I took up a lot of your time. I thank you so very much, and have a great day.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. If you're on the phone, we'll get to you immediately. But yes, you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I think just before we go to the next call, I'm going to let Kira do her next question.
All right. Quick question. Collegeville and Ben Cooper are two companies known for producing what kind of product? Again, Collegeville and Ben Cooper. Those are two companies known for producing what kind of product?
I'm not familiar with either one of those companies. Collegeville or Ben Cooper?
Yeah.
So those are two separate companies, but they produce the same thing.
Yes.
Okay. Or versions of the same thing, I guess.
Yep. That is correct.
All right. Okay. Move it on. And I guess I should say we have some emails here, and I should just give that a little look. Eddie says that Halloween adjacent character Angelique Bouchard is Dark Shadows.
It is Dark Shadows from the 18th century storyline. Very good.
Okay. Good job on that. Michael says that the Botticelli Birth of Venus is at the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, and that is absolutely correct. Good job. I suspect some other people knew that as well. Patience says the boating party, the luncheon of the boating party, is at the Phillips Collection in Washington, D.C., and that is correct. Good job on that. Peter is wondering if the most turbulent flight is from Albuquerque to Spokane. It is not Spokane. Carlton got the fact that the Garden of Earthly Delights was in Madrid. Didn't say the Prado, but it's in Madrid. And, okay. All right. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hello, Greg.
I have a couple of the Halloween adjacent characters.
All right.
It's funny, I don't understand you got along. I talked to security about you, but you got through.
Yeah. Cordelia Chase is from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Charisma yeah. Carpenter, exactly right. Yeah.
Yes, which I used to watch at like 1 a.m. yeah. And Howard Skinner, is it Walter Skinner or Howard Skinner?
Walter Skinner and Kira got that for already. But what did you think it was?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the X-Files.
Yeah, Mitch Pileggi in the X-Files, yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hey, Steve. Nice to hear from you.
Hi. Well, I just got scooped on a couple of answers, but Ben Cooper made kids' Halloween costumes.
That's right, college villain Ben Cooper, all the little kid Halloween costumes that you see in stores. That's absolutely correct.
Have you seen the action figures they put out?
No.
They're action figures of little kids wearing the original Ben Cooper Halloween costumes. They're kind of cute.
One of my cherished possessions is an advertisement from, I think, 1983. And it's one of their drawings. They couldn't even get like the little kid models. This is one of their drawings. And it is two costumes. They had a costume for Big Bird that they chose to pair it with a costume of Calabos, the evil guy from Clash of the Titans. And the two characters, Big Bird and Calabos, are just standing there. And they have... They're like not just standing, they're like serving Luke's, and it is amazing. And I love the catalog so much. So I need to check out this action figure or these.
Yeah,
the
action figures are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you got the answer for C next Wednesday already, but I'm wondering if you remember I guess we'd call it a short film where C next Wednesday wasn't the name of the movie in it, but it was heard. As a line of dialogue from the on-screen movie.
Do you mean the 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No.
Okay, are you talking about a John Landis film where you hear a movie called See You Next Wednesday?
You hear See You Next Wednesday as a line of dialogue from the movie within the...
Oh, okay. I only knew it from 2001 because that's where he got the line.
You said it's a short movie?
Yeah.
Like a Kentucky Fried movie?
No, it's like it's a music video.
Oh yeah, you
did. Oh, is it a thriller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when they're in the movie theater in Thriller, you hear them say, "Scrawled in blood, what does it say? See you next Wednesday."
Okay, good. I like it.
So, related question: what is the name of it on the marquee when they come out of that movie theater in Thriller?
It's something like the werewolf, just something simple like that, right?
It's actually more obvious than that, even.
Is it Thriller?
Yeah, it says Vincent Price, Thriller.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so the question I actually called in for, or a presidential question, is running... if you know how many U.S. presidents were orphaned before they were 18 years old.
Oh,
wow.
Interesting.
This call took a turn.
Good segue. First of all, let me ask, how many are there? I don't want you to tell me which ones they are, but how many do you have on your list?
Three.
Okay. I think Andrew Jackson is one.
That's correct.
Okay. And before they're 18, is Abraham Lincoln one?
No.
No, okay. Andrew Johnson?
No.
No, all right.
Well, Gerald Ford was adopted. Anything to do with that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No.
Okay. Are they all 19th century or earlier presidents?
No. One of them is 20th century.
One is 20th century. Let's see. Let's see. Is Theodore Roosevelt by any chance one?
No.
All right. I'm just thinking here very as quickly as I can.
I'd be guessing.
Yeah.
What about Eisenhower? Maybe that's how he ended up in the military.
No. I'd just be guessing around, I think.
James Monroe.
Okay.
His mother died when he was 14 and his father died when he was 16. And then Herbert Hoover was the 20th century.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I would not have remembered that, that's for sure. Huh. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Give us a call back next week, because I know you always come. You always have good Halloween questions. So, if you can.
Will do.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. All right.
All right.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. If you're online, we'll get to you as soon as possible. We are working our way through it. And I want to give Daryl a chance to throw in a quick question.
All right. In the interest of time, I'll do a quick one. Also, sort of Halloween adjacent with these movie titles. What Oscar-nominated actor appeared in all of the following movies? The Day the Earth Stood Still, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Die Another Day.
So the Day the Earth Stood Still, it would be the first version?
I didn't say that. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
The Day the Earth Stood Still, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Die Another Day.
And this is somebody who identifies with horror films to a certain extent?
No. I like the movie titles. But he at one point was nominated for an Oscar.
Okay. And we haven't done our, we're past the midway point for the show, obviously, but let's just run through the questions very quickly here and then we'll take a call. Kira, start with you.
All right, so I've given you the names of some fake movies. I want you to tell me the real movies in which they were featured. The ones we have left are Odyssey, that one's from 1963. Her Real Glory, that's from 1985. Dark Windows, I'm looking for 1992 in this case. Happy Scrappy Hero Pup, 1994. Log Jammin', that's 1998. And Gunsmog, 2022. That's all I have left.
All right, Daryl.
Only have two Halloween adjacent. Tara Thornton was a character. Tara Thornton in what TV show? And what Oscar-nominated actor appeared in The Day the Earth Stood Still, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and Die Another Day?
Is Tara Thornton in What We Do in the Shadows, maybe?
No, that's good to guess. No.
There are seven animal names that make up Crayola crayon colors. So we're still looking for six of those. Kira came up with salmon.
Can I also come up with Timberwolf?
Timberwolf, yes, that is one too. Very good. Nice.
How about polar bear?
Not polar bear.
And how about cardinal?
Cardinal? Oh, yeah. You mean as in the bird cardinal? No.
Yeah, okay.
No, not cardinal. And the most turbulent flight route in North America is between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and what city? And I should say that a couple of our emailers got that. Oh, I tried to give you credit, and I had to run through all this. But the ones that Chris got it, and Carlton got it, and Kate got it. So it is between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Denver, Colorado. That is the most turbulent flight route in North America. And I'm still looking for the 100 greatest paintings, where museums are they located in? I believe the ones we have left are the Milkmaid by Vermeer and the Lute Player by Caravaggio. So what museums are those located in? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Connie in Tampa. I just got scooped on the Albuquerque to Denver. I used to live in Albuquerque and fly to Denver all the time. But I actually, I know you, the way you set the question up, it was something about statistically or whatever. I challenge it only because I not only did I fly Albuquerque to Denver. And, oh, by the way, and Santa Fe definitely has their own airport. They fly United and American out of there. Okay. But anyways, Anchorage, Albuquerque to Anchorage, Alaska, going over the Canadian Rockies and the Rocky Rockies was just horrific. Anyways, so that was my answer to that. And then I think that was it.
All right. Well, thank you, Connie. I'm sorry we scooped you on that question.
That's okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I just like to say that Ivan De Carlo played the Egyptian queen Nefertari. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scene. And please, everybody, watch that scene. Was Moses and Zipporah right under the mountain talking when she said, "Our skin is not so soft, but we know how to help. Our skin is not so white," and so on. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scene.
It's Groundhog Day.
Google it, you get a video thing. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, Reed. And if you want to give us a call, a quick call, we have 15 minutes left. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, since we have a minute here, so I'm going to give you a quick question. So what I'm going to do, I did this before, I give you the three of the nominees for Best Picture, and you tell me the one that won, okay? So just pick out a random year here. So here are three of the nominees for Best Picture that lost. Tell me the one that won. E.T., The Extraterrestrial, Tootsie, and The Verdict, the Paul Newman film.
That is Gandhi.
Gandhi is correct. Okay. Good job on that. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Is Logjammin' starring Carl Hungus would be the Big Lebowski?
It is. I knew what you were calling in for the moment I heard
you. Oh, yeah. pretty easy to pigeonhole. Okay, so the Crayola colors, how about Canary?
Yes, Canary, very good.
Good.
Yay. And I guess probably not Bumblebee, since that would be yellow, but maybe?
No. I'm sorry, say it again?
Or Bumblebee?
Not Bumblebee.
Or Elephant?
Not Elephant.
I thought that may be Pink Elephant. That's a common color for me. Mm-hmm. And, geez, I guess that's it. I got some demonym questions, which came up by like the mention of the Kentucky Fried movie earlier. And I love the closing song, which is a carioca by Joe Stafford, sung by Joe Stafford. But a carioca is a demonym for what city?
That's the Rio de Janeiro, isn't it?
That's right. Okay. And then a couple others. Nice. So three other demonyms. How about Chilango? Ouija. Go ahead.
Is Chilango Mexico City?
That's right, Mexico City. Right. And then Ouija and Brummy.
Oh, Ouija's, those are both in England, right?
Brummy.
No.
Is Brummy Scotland?
No.
Are you talking about
one is
Brummy?
In England, one is in Scotland. Oh. And Scotland
is
not
is Glaswegian, right? Glasgow? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's right. Glasgow.
And then Birmingham?
Brummy is Birmingham. Very good.
Good.
As always, what a great show. Talk to you guys sometime in the future. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We have a few minutes left, and we certainly would like to talk to you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah. Excuse me. Hi, it's Greg in Alameda. I can't believe I got through twice. I guess your listeners are at rallies or marches. So Kira made me think of something. She said cardinal for the Crayola crayon colors. Mm-hmm. How about bluebird or blue jay?
Neither one.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Good show.
Do we have any more birds on your list?
No birds. Right. There's an insect, and I take it back. There's a bird. I apologize. So yeah, it's a. Yes,
but it's not robin's egg. Right?
It's a large bird. Yes, large bird.
Peacock. Yeah. Of course.
No, but
there is it's called peacock blue, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let me just check this for a second. Yeah. See, Cleona was wondering if one of the Crayola colors is grasshopper, which is actually a pretty good guess, but no, not that. And let's see. Eddie was wondering about Ben Cooper in Collegeville. But that question was answered. Let me just check one more thing here. Okay, and Canary, somebody got that. Okay, all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds
Over Matter. Hi, it's Peter from Tampa. I liked hearing the earlier caller, Connie, who's nearby. And we're far from you in San Francisco, but here's what I was going to suggest. A new phrase, or the president who was orphaned. My understanding is that orphan can mean just one parent dead. And when both parents are dead, like you said about Herbert Hoover, he was a double orphan. So maybe then it means he was, what president was double orphaned? Maybe I'm creating a new phrase, but it would be more accurate. No, neither parent. Anyway, let's move on. Do you remember the word geodetic? Do you know what that word means? Geodetic.
Yes. Does it not relate to the circumference of the Earth?
No. Well, vaguely. But
right.
What
it's the lines of measurement about the Earth.
Exactly. It's the lines of latitude and longitude, which of course are not metric. You know, because we're talking about 90 degrees, all that. But anyway, the reason I brought that up is because I know that you don't like talking about sports. But in the news, or the teams that are in the playoffs with the baseball, was Toronto Blue Jays and the Seattle Seahawks. Which is higher? You need some knowledge of the geodetic.
Right, Seattle is farther north, if that's what you mean by higher, as opposed to elevation. Seattle is farther north than Toronto.
I like the distinction. Seattle is right. But now, let me ask you another question. Which is farther north, Toronto or Portland, Oregon?
I think they're roughly equal.
No. If you could see, it's like one is noticeably lower.
Well, then probably Toronto.
Yes. Toronto is farther south than Portland, Oregon. Don't be fooled. You know, you could think one is like north, northwest, but, you know, the whole Midwest area there where Buffalo is on the Great Lakes, that's not that far north. Anyway,
and as Danny can tell you, it's the Mariners, not the Seahawks.
Oh, right. The Seahawks is the football team.
I'm always saying that.
I was doing it for you because I wanted to play like I'm dumb. I don't like sports either. But it's not true. I like looking at the
You geography. Did call it the baseball. So.
The baseball?
All right. Baseball. Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you
sure
very
thing.
Much. And let's see. Carlton was wondering if one of the colors was Raven. At least I think that's what he was wondering. But no, it's not Raven. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Can I ask Mr. Garrison a question? Can you
hey,
hear
Joe.
me?
Yes, Joe.
Yeah, the movie question, I was confused because there was two Day the Earth Stood Still movies. But would you repeat that question that had the
sure.
Day the Earth
what Oscar nominated actor
Die Another
appeared,
Day?
Sure. What Oscar nominated actor appeared in The Day the Earth Stood Still, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and Die Another Day?
Well, would that be Patricia Neal? The last one would be Halle Berry.
No, it's a guy.
Oh, they mean one person appeared in all three of those?
Yes.
And the Day of the Earth Still would possibly be the later one, not the
it
the classic.
Is the later one. Yes, it's the later one.
Oh, I would probably guess and would be the gal on Matlock. I mean,
it's still a guy. And
still a guy. No, let me get off. I was thinking I was right with the I had Patricia Neal and Halle Berry and everything because
right.
There were Oscar winners in those movies. Anyway, I'll get off. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Did we have an answer?
All right.
Nope.
No. Okay. Because he mentioned that Kathy Bates was in that, right?
But
that's
guy,
not the Oscar-nominated one you were talking about.
One guy appeared in all three of these.
Oh, okay. All right. And
is it John Cleese?
It is John
is
Cleese.
Is it really?
Yay! He was very good. He played Q in Die Another Day, and he was nominated
for A Fish Called Wanda. His script writing.
His screenplay. Yes, very good. Nice, Kara.
That's the part I know. I knew none of the other stuff.
All right. We have time for one more call.
Nice.
No? Okay. Oh, got to clean up. Okay. Let's clean up here. Kira, start with you.
Real quick, one of your colors, Dana, is it rhinoceros?
It is not rhinoceros.
Okay. Odyssey from 1963, movie starring Brigitte Bardot called Contempt. Her Real Glory was Kiss of the Spider Woman. Dark Windows, in my case, 1992, is Death Becomes Her. Happy Scrappy Hero Pop is from Clerks, and Gunsmug is from The Fablemans. That is all I have.
No, I think that was an in-joke, that Death Becomes Her, that Dark Windows thing.
Sure.
And yes, Daryl.
Only had one. Tara Thornton was a character in True Blood, played by Regina Wellesley.
Oh, okay. The seven animal colors, I'll just give you the whole list, that are Crayola crayon, seven animal names that are Crayola crayon colors. Timberwolf, beaver, canary, pink flamingo, manatee, inchworm, and salmon.
Inchworm.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be too hard. The 100 greatest paintings, where are they located? The ones that nobody got. The milk made by Vermeer is at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. The, and the lute player by Caravaggio is at the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. All right, waiting into your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Daryl Garrison. I'll be back next week. Realtor in Brentwood. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian D. Miner for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We really enjoy talking to you, and we do hope you will tune in next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.